This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, 9 o'clock hour here of Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. We'll get back to the phones here in about 10, 15 minutes, I promise. A lot of leftover opinion, passion, emotion when it comes to Robbie Cano and his 80-game suspension being levied yesterday. We also have some tickets we're going to give away here for Felix Hernandez infield grass bobblehead night. Mm. Do you want to do that right now? Or just give them away?
Mm. Sure.
All right, let's do that. And then we'll talk to Brent Musburger, and then we'll get back to your calls. All right, let's do that right now. We'll just give it to the, what's the right caller today? 80th? Let's go with fifth caller.
There you go.
Fifth caller right now at 206-421-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see the Felix Hernandez infield grass bobblehead night. It is this Saturday the 19th. First 20,000 fans pick up a Felix Hernandez bobblehead and the seed to grow their own grass with.
Nice.
Grounds crew not included, however. All right, fifth caller will get that. We, in the meantime, will talk to the man himself, Brent Musburger, taking a few minutes here in the Venue Kings Hotline. Hi, Brent. How are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing? How's the weather in the Great Northwest?
It is so perfect here, you would swear you're in Vegas. It's been 75 and sunny every day and will be for the foreseeable future.
All right. Living the dream up in the Northwest. Can't beat it.
No. You're living the dream. Now, hold on. You're living the dream now. You took the big risk and you decided to go to Vegas and work in this full time. And within a year or two, what happens? The Supreme Court makes this gigantic decision the other day. What does it do for your organization?
Well, obviously, I think there will be others who imitate what we're doing, talking strictly about gambling information, about sports, how it's related. We thought the industry would move in this particular direction. We always thought it was just a matter of time before it became legal to bet on single games in the sporting world in places other than Nevada, and there's parlay cards in Delaware. They tried it in Oregon, but it backed up on them for whatever reason. I'm not familiar with what happened in there. So we thought it was a growth industry. And it was my nephew and some of his friends from Chicago who started the company, and they asked if I would consider it. And I said, listen, I always wanted to retire to Las Vegas. If I can get Mr. Gahn to build me a studio in the South Point, I'm in. And so I'm in.
How is life, man? I miss you, Brent. I miss seeing you at ESPN. I miss seeing you at our seminars. And yet I know you're doing exactly what you just said. You're doing what you love and what you wanted to do. How is life?
Oh, excellent, Brock. You know, what I didn't realize is how busy the betting world is in a state like Nevada. You know, right now we've got the NBA and the NHL playoffs in full swing, Major League Baseball, great horse racing coming, and U.S. Open is coming up next month. The World Cup starts over in Russia, and there are people who want to take a position in all of these different sports. So just keeping up to date requires more homework than I used to have to do for Arkansas, Mississippi, if you know what I mean.
This was a terrible career choice you made in retirement here. What are you doing? This was a huge mistake. Now you're working too hard. Hey, tell us this. How will the landscape look different in 5 years? As a result of the Supreme Court decision that happened this week, how will the sports landscape look different in 5 years or so?
Well, there will be more legal betting in the various states that authorize it. In other words, we've cut hard into the black market, which was always the idea. None of us should be naive enough to believe that those who wanted to make a bet on a sporting event couldn't find a bookie or an offshore account to go ahead and make that particular bet. But it was a unregulated market, and so now, full disclosure, I have played with betting sports offshore for maybe two decades. But now that I live in Las Vegas, it's so much more convenient just to walk into a casino. You've got protection that you do not have with the offshore sites. So I think in that regard, moving sports into the betting, into the mainstream, is a huge advantage for those who want to take a position. I also believe that a lot of folks won't pay any attention to it, not interested in it, And the media won't be talking about it as much as they are now because this is just a couple of days after the Supreme Court ruling. I would think that some of the coverage, the live coverage, especially the pregame shows, will talk a little bit more about the odds and the over-under numbers, and then life will just carry on the way it is. And I visited the UK. I bet there. I bet down in Australia, and that's the way it is. People don't pay much attention to it. They know you can make a bet if you want to, and if you don't, so be it.
So the year, Brent, was 1995. You said maybe you've been doing this for a couple decades. I'm curious. We'll play the call here. Was there any action on the game on this call in 1995 here in the Kingdome?
You know, I learned very early on in my career not to be betting on the games I was broadcasting. Would have loved to have had a position on the game that night, but no, I did not. Yeah. One of the more thrilling endings, actually around Seattle, I've had a great number of thrilling endings. The Final Four with Michigan beating Seton Hall in that classic game. Obviously, with the Supersonics winning the championship of the Kingdome, and of course that particular event. So, no, I did not have a position on that game to answer your question.
I got to tell you, Brent, I've lived here for 9 years since I moved here, and honestly, the Dave Niehaus call of that gets played so often. I don't know that I've ever heard your call. It's wonderful. What a great call of that moment, man. I mean, not that I'm surprised. All of your calls are great, but that's a. That's a really good call of a big moment. It's a really important one to people here. What do you remember of it?
Well, I remember that the Yankees came in overconfident, and George Steinbrenner had for a long time been a friend of mine, and he loved football, so we would always talk football. And the Yankees were overconfident. Jim Kapp was my analyst on that. A great friend. I had covered him as a baseball writer. An announcer back in Chicago, and I just remember the emotion of the moment on that base hit, and I think I can still see Griffey flying.
Awesome, Brent. Well, we thank you, man, so much, and good on you. You know, you always were a step ahead of everybody else in your broadcast career, and as Mike said, you bet on this happening. You saw it coming. Your nephew may have helped in that process, but now you're getting to kind of live out your dream the way you wanted to, man. So congratulations. Always a blast to hear
from
you.
Any good food to eat now that you live in Vegas full-time? Is there any good food around Vegas or not anymore?
I would say that of all the cities and all the gin joints,
Brent, selfishly, it's cool for you, but we miss you. We miss you doing the big games. We really do. We miss hearing your voice and making a big game seem big. So thanks for taking a few minutes with us. We'll do it again sometime.
You got it. All right, have a great day. Thanks, Brock. Bye.
There you go. There's Brent Musburger live from Vegas. Just hearing his voice is kind of awesome, isn't it?
So good. Even his voice is big.
That felt good. It felt right.
It did.
If we were going to step away from the Robbie Cano news for 10 minutes, right? So we all were texting each other last night. Well, what do you think? Can we step away? Brent Musburger? Yeah.
I just have just his laugh. What was his answer there? We gave a little That was the best part of the interview.
Oh, good.
Oh, man.
You hadn't heard that call, huh? We played it.
I mean, I probably have, but not very often, right? I mean... You know, maybe I've heard it, but it didn't register the way it did there. I don't know. You always hear the Niehaus call for good reason. Dave's call is tremendous, and it's iconic, and yep. Dave is one of the best ever. Brent's one of the all-time greats as well, hear him on that call, he's a really good baseball announcer, too.
Yeah, how about the dome just alive?
Yeah.
Right? A Niehaus's call, it's just so much, obviously, his big booming voice. You can hear the crowd. But that one on the national, doing it on the television side, you're bringing the crowd in at that place.
Quick question before we open this back up and talk some more, Robbie. If we were to survey 100 football fans from around the country,
463-643,
and ask them, did Brent Musburger ever wager on games he was calling? Do you think they would believe that the answer was he did not? What do you think what number would say? Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm going to say in 95, no. 2005, no. 2014, 15, 16, maybe near in the end when he knows what's on the horizon. like a lot of these guys, right? Bob Wischus and I talk about this all the time. He's my play-by-play guy on the ESPN side. He's like, oh, it's really daring, you know, of Al Michaels to take a stand on something now, right? He, in his 70s, he wasn't doing it in his 30s right. or 40s
Fair.
Or 50s when you're grinding and you're working your way up and you're competing, you know, to be the guy and be the best. So I think maybe, Brent, I don't want to say he was not totally truthful, but maybe in the 60s or 70s that filter.
What are the chances the umpire, the home plate ump last night, had money on the Rangers? It sure seemed that way. What was that guy's deal? That was like one of the worst umped games I can remember. He was awful. Every single outside first pitch strike he was given to the Rangers, they were 6 inches outside. And then he kept squeezing the Mariners. It's crazy. And I don't usually get bent out of shape on those things.
No,
two nights ago, it was not Angel Hernandez, somebody else in his crew, DJ Rayburn, was just bad for both sides. And he gave the Mariners some calls and he took away a few. He was just awful. Last night, that guy was consistently jobbing the Mariners.
He has
it was
a name.
Really making me mad.
He has a name.
I know, I looked it up earlier, but I don't remember what it was. I'd never heard of the guy. He's some guy on Laz Diaz's crew. That's all that you need to know. He's some guy. And he's a chump also. He was terrible. It was a terribly umped game last night, and good for Scott Servais for finally getting thrown out. I don't think he got thrown out for a very good reason. I mean, I don't think that was interference, but good on him after the day he had had and the frustration. I'd have gotten thrown out of that game, and I would have charged him out if I was Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, it was quite a day, man.
How many times are the Mariners going to get hit by pitches? 27. It leads the league again in being hit by a pitch. Are we going to see retaliation at any point?
I think last night may have been the night. If I was Nelly Cruz, I'd have broken that bat over my knee.
I don't think he could. I think he was in too much pain.
Really?
I think he had to be carried. He had to be helped off the field.
And weren't you watching like pitchers as the lineup went through, and you're like, I'm not going to hit him. No, I'm not going to hit. I'm not going to hit. No,
there is an element of this particular team with the Rangers. They've got some big dudes.
Yeah, this is the bus team. This is the first off the bus.
Who is that Guzman dude? Yeah. I've never seen him before. He's gigantic.
He's 6'9", gigantic.
All right, Gallo is enormous.
The right fielder.
Nomar Mazara.
Don't mess with
big,
him.
Big, big dude.
Bannister, the manager, got quaking rage like Stelton. Every time they go to him in the dugout, all I think is Stelton's quaking rage.
And we've seen what Rougned Odor could do after he pummeled Joey Bats.
Truth.
Who's twice his size.
Yeah.
So fair point.
So maybe this isn't the best
team. Maybe wait a couple days and like pick a fight with the A's or something like that.
Yes.
But still, 20s. How many times they keep getting hit by a pitch? How do we have a montage of this? What are you doing back there? Don't we have some sort of montage on how many times they've been hit by a pitch?
Oh, yeah.
Check swing, and that hit Cruz. That got him on the leg or the foot.
You have to protect your teammates. You have to earn their respect in the clubhouse.
Pitch to Heredia, and it hits him. Irmo walking out of the circle.
He's hurting.
You know what, Doug? Shut up.
No! Yeah. Don't ever tell me to shut up.
Shut up.
You're not man enough to tell me to shut up. That's a joke.
You want to go?
I just think...
Seriously, you don't ever say that to me.
It's up and in, and it hits Seager in the back.
I am ready for battle. Are you ready, friends?
Ready. Fight.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Time to get after it, but maybe wait a couple days until the Rangers are out of town. None of the Rangers sound like Kyle's buddy Brightwing.
I take no association with Brady.
Probably for the best.
Oh,
stop hitting the Mariners. And guys, time to fight back. In the words of BBN graduate Rachel Platt, it's my fight song, man. Shout out. BBN Knights represent as always. What's up?
27 times in 41 games. 27 times in 41 games.
And in the last 2 days, they've injured the two best players on the team.
Yeah.
Stop allowing this to happen.
Yep.
Take back the plate. Please charge the mound, hit some of their guys, do something to take back ownership of the plate. And by the way, if it's Christian Bergman who's got to hit somebody, you sacrifice him. Whatever. Oh, so you lose Bergman. Who cares? You got to have to do something about this at some point.
Gallo on Bergman.
No.
I don't know if I want to see that.
That's not going to end well for Bergman. They just call up Rob Whalen after that.
You just got to wait until James Pazos is back on the mound. That guy's thick.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's kind of short and squat, too. Like, I don't know.
He's thick.
Yeah.
If he's thick, what is Altavilla?
That's the guy.
Altavilla
quit messing
is the
around
one.
With Pazos.
That's right.
Altavilla is the guy who's going to have to handle this business.
And I want him plunking Guzman, and I want to see that.
No.
I want to see all arms versus the little fire hydrant.
Guzman is a monster.
If you put Guzman's upper body onto Altavilla's lower body,
he's
what do you
have? He's not a monster. He's a monstar. Like, he's literally like one of the aliens that came down and inhabited Charles Oakley's body.
Who is that guy, by the way? Guzman.
Yeah. I don't know where he came
Neither
from.
Neither do I. He just appeared. appeared
in the
game last night.
Him, like in a lab.
What position does he play?
He plays first base.
He's giant.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
He really is.
He's big.
And Gallo's huge, right?
Guzman actually did the splits to catch a ball earlier in the season.
Yeah, he did.
Really? I didn't see that.
It was really impressive.
All right, don't fight the Rangers. And plus, Rougned Odor really likes to fight.
Yes, he
does. I'll never forget listening to Jim Rome years ago. When Jim Rome, who was he talking? Do you remember the old reliever for the Cubs, Kyle Farnsworth?
Oh, yeah.
Guy who loved to fight.
That guy
he's the
like
guy
Guzman.
Who was, right, he's probably got the best like baseball charging moment in the hit, other than Nolan Ryan hitting Ventura. The second best moment is when Paul Walker, I think was his name,
Neil Walker.
He was the Reds pitcher who had come up with the Mets, got mad at him for hitting him because he's in the National League, and started to charge the mound, and instead Farnsworth form tackled him and just got on him and started punching him in the face over and over again. I'll never forget Jim Rome talking about him and saying, here's the deal with Kyle Farnsworth. Oh, God.
You're in the jungle. Yeah, why wouldn't he?
Jim Rome show, getting in the jungle, boys.
Joe, C-Bus, checking in. Great catch. Take the rest of the day.
Hanging out.
Right.
You're in the jungle.
So his idea that was funny on that, he's like, look, he likes to fight guy who also knows how to fight guy. Don't combine and mess with likes to fight guy who's also knows how to fight guy.
That's Bob Stelton.
I'm trying. Yeah, Bob is the same thing.
Oh, yes, he is.
He likes to fight guy.
He likes jujitsu.
Combined with knows how to fight
and he
guy.
Knows how to fight jujitsu.
The thing about
you want to fight, you need one of those guys to get in the jungle and the cage together. We're going to fight in the jungle. All the cats out there crazy.
Jim Rome's a legend, man. That's a really good impression. He
good
really
job,
is good.
Howdy.
Count Chocula.
You don't want to mess with that dude when he's on the mound being crazy. It's not a place you want to be, ever. On the mound, in the batter's box. Dude's jacked.
What about Gallo or Guzman? Mess with either of those dudes?
But all of those guys you know are look like a fight guy.
Mm.
But the thing about Odor is he's knows how to fight guy. He dropped Joey Bats. Like, bam, see you later.
His nickname is the Venezuelan Cowboy. Like, do you really want to mess? Everywhere is the Wild Wild West to him.
I like that about him. I got to say, I hate Rougned Odor. I would love to have him on my team.
Oh, exactly. He is the exact type of player that is
can they
so
trade
annoying
for
to
Odor?
Play against.
Could they trade for him for the duration? With how much time is left in his contract?
He's not playing that well. No. Do you care about that?
Not really.
No.
not really. No. No, not really. I don't
You'll
care that much.
Our fight
he made a heck of
guy.
A heck of a
You'll
stop in the ninth inning to save the game. Song. I'll say that about him.
You went to school there?
Rachel Platten.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did.
Solid.
She's a freshman. No, in high school.
Oh, really?
She was a freshman when I was a senior.
BB&M was all boys.
It was. No. Bring this up every time. No matter how many times you bring it up, I'll each time say it was
okay,
not.
Sorry, my
you
bad.
Know that Mindy Kaling was there.
My
you
bad.
Know that Rachel Platten
was the Zavarian brothers that were all boys.
Yes, no, I'm not Matt Hasselbeck. I didn't go to some chump Zavarian brothers school. Get out of here.
Good.
They were actually good
can
at football.
Can we get back to Robbie Cano?
Who?
Out loud.
I'm done with him. Can we move on and just talk about the future? All right, 206-421-3776. We've already given away the tickets, so don't call about those anymore. But we have just been taking your feelings. What do you feel? How do you feel today about what happened with Robbie Cano? And, you know, at some point we are going to start spinning this forward, Brock, to what it means for the Mariners. They're moving D. Gordon to second base. He'll be there within a couple of games. Probably not the Texas series, but by the time Texas exits, I think that you'll see D. Gordon starting second base most games. Don't you think?
Yes. I think that will be some of the plan.
They got a lot of flexibility now.
They do. I've also got about 3,000 folks here on Twitter, Mike, and over 50% of them with the news around Robbie feel sad.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
And you got to explain that.
Now, a lot of our callers did not. You know, I think a bunch of you in the last hour expressed a lot of what Mike and I feel, which is a little bit more on that anger, mad side, at least here initially. Like, man, there's a responsibility when you're making $25 million. There just is. With more power, with more, you know, opportunity becomes more responsibility. And to your manager, to your GM, to your teammates, to you know, your fans, to everybody, there is a level of responsibility,
but
and it is
what
different.
Would lead to sadness. I don't see how that emotion comes up here.
Is it sadness for the team? Is it sadness that you felt Robbie had to go to this extent and this level?
It's sadness for me.
Sadness.
I am sad for me because my team is not going to be as competitive as they were before.
I guess you got to explain why you're more sad than mad about that.
Because I can't do anything about it. I am.
And what doesn't that
I
make you even more mad?
Position.
Doesn't that make you even more mad?
No, I can't be mad because I have nothing left to do. Like I'm left on the side of the street with no resources.
You sound
That's
mad.
It.
You mad, bro?
I'm not mad.
You sound mad.
I don't know. You sound like in between NBA voice guy right. and opinion
I'm
guy.
I'm sad.
I would say so that the answer NBA is you're
opinion,
frustrated.
NBA opinion guy and give me your Jim Rome and, you know, sadness guy. That's what you're kind of in between there. How do you
I don't know.
Not
you sound really like frustrated.
Frustrated
guy.
Can go two there ways. Go.
Yeah, and I guess for me, frustration goes to anger, not yes. sadness. I that's not the way my emotions work. 206-421-3776. Let's hear from some of you guys as well. Brad's been hanging on a while on Cedro Woolley. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Hanging in there. Thanks for taking my call.
Are you sad like Howdy?
Pardon?
Are you sad like Howdy?
You know, I guess I'm mad, and I'm not necessarily mad at Cano. You know, you guys were talking earlier about, you know, how could he do this? You know, that's, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, how could he do this to the team and everything else? But, you know, when you think about what they're going through, and I don't know if you listen to late night talk radio. I mean, if there's any type of hiccup at all in a person's game, then they get roasted.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure that the talk radio people by themselves, well, no offense, yes.
Hold on a minute. Yes, hold yes. on a second.
Sorry,
Brad, before you finish.
It's our fault.
Are you saying it's talk radio's fault that Robbie Cano took performance-enhancing drugs?
Well,
it sounds like that's what you're saying, so I want to give you a chance to not say that, because that doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, but if you want to, you can point the finger. I mean, we're big boys.
Are you saying it's talk radio's fault?
Why did he take them?
I don't know.
To improve.
Okay.
To stay on top of his game.
And you think he did that because of talk radio?
Their game? Because people are putting them down. Yeah, I mean, we all want to hang on to what we've got when we're good.
Yep.
You know, I've been a Hewitt fan for a long time. I've been a big Husky fan. And, you know, even you, Brock,
yep. You
wanted to stay on top of your game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gracefully.
But do you think? But Brad, get that argument. The part you're losing me on is you think the reason they want to stay on their game is to avoid criticism from media. I think the reason they want to stay on their game is because they want to continue to excel. They want to be great. They want to help their team, and or they want to continue to get paid. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has anything to do with what the media says.
How would you feel if your peers started roasting you because you weren't putting up?
That's actually happened. You know? I can tell you all about that. let me describe. It was awful. As a matter of fact, it was truly terrible.
Yeah.
I left my town I was born in and now don't like the place because of it.
Yes.
I didn't handle it very well.
Yeah.
So did you try to improve?
I did, but that doesn't mean I turned to PEDs because of it. Yeah. I mean, not that such a thing exists, but I don't know, man. I think that's a stretch. I mean... To blame it on the media, I don't know. Plenty of guys are in a lot of pressure from the media, and they don't turn to PEDs. That doesn't seem right to me.
No, they don't, but it is all of it. I think Brad's point is there is a lot of expectation, right? With responsibility also comes this huge expectations that sit on him. And you know what? He's a Hall of Famer, and he wants to be a Hall of Famer. He's got 15 years in this league, and I think before this test, to be quite honest with you, he is a Hall of Famer. And now, unfortunately, he's going to get lumped in with a bunch of questions. And questions that he's going to have to answer to eventually.
Yeah, well,
you know, his statement, the Players Association statement that they put out yesterday is one thing. It's not going to go away.
If the Mariners win the World Series this year,
oh boy,
will there be people who put an asterisk by it because Cano participated for 80 of the 162 games and say that, yeah, but the games he was playing, he was using PEDs? Like, would they put an asterisk next to their World Series?
Oh, you just think that he slotted right back in there, don't you?
I don't know. I don't know whether he slots right back in there. Maybe D. Gordon plays so well and Heredia is hitting 350 when he comes
back. Since you brought
up
a little of your life story, can I just say this to you, Salk, and to Brad? Selfishly, this is fun for us. This team became immensely interesting in like 100 different ways.
Right. Text message. We can all agree it's Salk's fault. All right, I'll own that. 206-421-3776. Who do you want to blame? Me, Brock, the media, whoever it is. It's all you next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Thirty hip hop with Lydia. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Nearly a battle in the other room. Laurel versus
Laurel.
Yanny. It
Every
continues.
Stinking time it's been Laurel.
The name of the show is Brock and Salk. We both hear Laurel, so you three
Laurel,
are wrong.
Laurel, baby.
You're just admitting that you can't hear higher tones. That's
Laurel.
Fine.
We're not admitting
you're
anything.
You're limited Laurel. On the auditory.
We're admitting that we can actually hear correctly, and we know that it's Laurel.
No, I mean, they're both in there. That's the we're both right, is what's happening.
Laurel.
You can't both be right.
You are.
The world doesn't work that way.
After nearly 24 hours, I am still mad and disappointed. Okay? This news came out yesterday about 10:30 or so. Big Kyle was the first one to share with me, like, there's a little something coming out of the Dominican. I need to keep an eye on here. And, nearly 24 hours later, I'm still a bit mad and disappointed.
I'm now over that, and I'm kind of excited about the $11 or $12 million. Let's go. Let's ride, man. 12 mil, Jerry. Go spend it on some pitching. Dakota's in Silverdale. Dakota, how do you feel today?
Well, Salk, I'm kind of echoing your sentiments.
Heck yeah, you are.
Dakota,
Dakota, are you on Team Laurel or Team Yanny here?
Dakota's trying to kiss butt get in the top five. Look at him. He's just trying to play the game all right.
No, he's doing a good job.
Come on now. I spent all day yesterday just trying to think of how I was going to explain this to my kid. He's 9 years old, just idolizes Robbie Cano, right? And then as the day went on and I kind of had an opportunity to collect my thoughts and feelings, I'm excited to see what Jerry DePoto is going to do with $11.7 million. And
right.
I'm just, you know, I know a lot of us as fans were feeling pretty discouraged that we didn't spend any money on starting pitching in the off season. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's what they're going to do, but I think that there's a lot of interesting possibilities that could come out of this. And there's a lot of teams right now that I think are already, I know it's May 16th, but there's a lot of teams that I think are going to be sellers or are going to identify themselves as sellers with some interesting pieces.
And more so this year than ever.
Right.
So what did your 9-year-old son say?
Well, you know, what was funny is I told my son Brady, and he goes, he just kind of looked at me with just confusion, because Cano is one of those guys that he always associated with playing the game the right way. And he's a select baseball player himself, plays travel ball. It was my youngest son, who I didn't even think, who's 5 years old, busts out in tears and just goes, Robbie, no! And was sobbing.
Were you sad about that or sort of laughing?
Well, I was sort of laughing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all right.
5 years old. He doesn't understand exactly, but it was fun.
And your 9-year-old was okay. It's amazing. Kids are a little more resilient than we give them credit for. You can explain this stuff, and it's a good teaching moment. Thanks for the phone call, Dakota. Yeah, I'm with you. This is a weird situation. If you look at it just logically, if there's no emotion attached to it at all, and I know we've been generally asking for your emotional response, but if you take emotion out of it, Robbie, and just look at it from a Mariner perspective. They were going to be without Robbie for, what, 50 games?
Yeah, probably. They
were going to be without Robbie for, let's say, 50 games.
40 to 50 games.
Now they're going to be without him for 80 games. So the difference is about 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, when you're without a player for that long, you don't get any reprieve. You still got to pay their salary. There's nothing else you can do.
That's true.
They're going to be without him for an extra month, but because of it, they get $11.75 million. That in theory you can now use to go try to bring in some other players. Yeah. I know it's not as good as having that in the off season when you could truly spend it, but if there are ways to essentially trade lower level prospects.
Can you rent Adam Jones?
I don't know, maybe if you pay the salary.
Yeah.
I mean, would you do that? Yes.
Yes and yes.
Can I go do that and get a pitcher? I don't know whether the Orioles have anybody that I want to see as a reliever, but yeah, maybe.
Wade Miley still with them?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know who's probably with them is like Tony Sipp. No, I think he's in Houston. They have that other lefty that's always around. Like they got somebody that you would want, don't you think? So, all right, package one of your relievers to help in the seventh and eighth inning and take Adam Jones for the next few months. Wouldn't you love that?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? Who says no to that? That's a great benefit of having Robbie Cano gone and you get his salary. So, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Robbie. Helping the team. 206-421-3776.
He's
very generous. Matt's on Vashon Island. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, I think it is him helping the team. And right when I saw the news, it seemed almost strategic on his part. Like, okay, well, I know I've got this broken finger, and I may as well accept the take the medicine now.
Yeah, Larry Stone reported yesterday that's not true, though. He reported that was not the case. According to his source, the suspension had been levied and the appeal had been dropped before he had gotten hurt.
Well, I
don't know whether that's true. I mean, that's Larry's report on it, so who knows? But that's
funny.
His
I had the same exact deal as Dakota. I had to tell my 9-year-old this morning, and I sat him down, and instant. I mean, I try to give him the news as evenly as possible and let him digest it, how he's going to experience it. He threw up his hands and was like, oh, are you kidding? Yeah. And then the first thing he said is, oh, well, there's no Hall of Fame. Yep. I didn't even know that he was putting those things together. But, you know, he looked at the big picture right away. And, I mean, I think we all have, too. It's like, what this means for him and us and just really disappointment.
So. Yeah, you know, we didn't even really get through that today. I think it's just kind of an emotional response, but that is the reality, all right? And Robinson Cano is still a human being. And he put out his statement through the players yesterday, the Players Association, because he's still trying to protect that. And you know what? I don't know how baseball players entirely tick, but I'll tell you what, after being around them for 10 years, Mike, their legacy matters, and it matters a lot. And I bet you that in some spot and wherever Robbie is, and you know, he also carried this for 40 games, right? He failed this test initially. So he knew that he was going to try to appeal this, but he knew that eventually he was going to come out. And there is no doubt in my mind, he's still a human being that at some point, and to some extent, he's got his own kids that realizes there are other 9-year-olds, 8-year-olds like Titus, or 9-year-olds like Dakota's, or 9-year-olds like that caller. That, like, man, what a bummer. What a bummer for those kids, you know. Even a 9-year-old can put that kind of human connection and feeling together. And I don't know. That's part of the reason I am a little bit bummed and mad and angry and frustrated and all those things wrapped into one.
Adam Jones is in the last year of his deal. He's making $17 million this year. So if you were to acquire him for half of the year, there's what? $8.5 million?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You still got $3 million to go spend.
Or
on the
you were to acquire him right now, it's about 11.8. You know, I'm pretty darn close to that, so... And you put D. Gordon at second base and Adam Jones in center field? Okay.
I mean, that's okay. That certainly replaces Robinson Cano for a while.
Okay.
And then when everybody comes back, all right, somebody's got to play left field. And okay, I guess Ben Gamble doesn't get to play anymore. Oh, well. Like, all right, I'll roll with D. Gordon in left and Adam Jones in center and Robbie Cano back at second base until the playoffs.
Kyle Lewis?
I don't know whether he's going to be ready or not just because of
no,
the
No, I'm
defense,
saying you, but, what do you... Yeah,
oh, am I willing to give up Kyle Lewis?
Just taking salary. Baltimore, he's going to be a rental for somebody. They're not just taking a salary.
I don't know. Maybe if you take the salary, though, you might just be able to do that. 206-421-3776. Grab Derek, who's in Yakima. Hi, Derek.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You get the last word here.
What's that?
You get the... Go ahead, quickly.
So I just kind of want to touch base earlier with kind of Roger was hinting around about. Number one... a couple callers mentioned about the kids and so on. I got a 16-year-old kid, totally heartbroken, loves the game of baseball, so on and so forth. If you're Robbie Cano, how do you come home and tell your kids that you're off 80 games because you cheated at your job? For instance, in my job, if I get busted, say a DWI or whatever, I lose my license, so on and so forth. I don't have a job. I got to find a new one. So what Roger was saying earlier, is if you touch base with the players union, so on and so forth, if you're caught cheating, it should be not just a ban or lose games and time. You should lose that contract for the whole year. You shouldn't be able to step back on the field in my mind.
All right. Well, that's not what they've, unfortunately, what they've done. I mean, you know, I get it. You can argue against that. And, you know, your job is different from his
job. Down the line,
job.
Don't you think, though, if that's the repercussions these players are put up against, that
no.
All this stuff might get pushed under the rug.
Interesting, Derek. That is
it's
a powerful, powerful union, man. That players' association in baseball is the most powerful.
I don't think it's not about the consequences. I think at the end, they still think they're going to get away with it. I mean, what they're doing is so much more advanced than what the testing is. That, I mean, I don't think they see it that way. Grab one more, real quick. Bo, go ahead. You can have the last word. Well, Bo hung up. All right, so forget it. Nobody gets the last word.
Bo had to run.
I know. I was excited for Bo. I thought Bo had a good point. He was going to say we're underestimating how big a deal this is. I don't know whether he meant baseball-wise or sort of
in life.
Yeah,
he meant on the field.
On the field?
Yeah.
It's a big deal on the field. There's no doubt.
Yep.
There's no doubt. You're losing your number three hitter.
Yeah.
But can you mitigate some of that and turn it from negative into positive? That's the question. Do you guys have that DePoto sound on that where he says we're going to try to turn this into a positive? You were playing it earlier, and I'm sorry, I don't think I have it here on the screen. But you know, he basically said that yesterday where he said, look, we're going to try to turn a negative into a positive here and do the best we can. And if D. Gordon moving to second base and some of the other things we can do with the roster kind of change around a little bit, so be it. It is a negative.
Disappointment, really discouraged. And I think at the end of the day, like you do with everything else, is you find a way to twist it into a positive outcome. And, you know, this is a tough one, at least you know, socially something we don't want to deal with, and privately something we have to. So we've got a 25-man club. We think we have a good club, and now over the next 3 months, we're going to have to create solutions. And today was a day for figuring out what they might be.
We're going to learn a whole lot more too, man. And with opportunity for Heredia, who delivered last night in an unbelievable, awesome way. So excited for him to get that chance. Ben Gamel to get it going.
2-0 without Robbie right now, man.
The opportunity
big
for
night
to
for
see.
Guillermo. Big hit last night as they win it in the 11th. All right, let's answer your questions to finish off the show. As always, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. We're ready to answer your questions. All you got to do is text them. 710-710. We'll do it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, jerks, we got questions. We got answers. 206-421-3776.
It's happening.
What is the board?
Yeah, the top five board.
Okay.
We got the board. We just found the magnetic strips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's going to get ordered. It's going to get done.
I'm excited.
We're doing this.
This is the top five caller board, constantly in flux.
Constantly.
Top five.
And no question, Roger is the one of ones.
Right now.
You got other callers referencing Roger.
It helps.
Well, like Roger said last hour. He's number one.
So these are going to, like, slide around as how you envision them?
Oh, yeah. It's
you got to write new. Sure. So how do you write new ones?
Oh, I'm going to have all.
It'll be like magnetic, so you can move them up and down. You'd be like, oh, that comment.
And it
oh,
comes
that
in
call
a roll.
Slides
and the
you
magnetic
down.
Part
I got
is
lots of strips. I got lots of these strips.
And they're and you can write on each strip?
Write on each strip.
They have whiteboard material on them?
Yep.
Wow, fascinating.
Yep, we're doing it.
Jerks.
Next question.
What is the perfect temperature for Seattle?
I personally like about 78. I love 78.
72 degrees and overcast.
That's horrible.
85 degrees, not a cloud in the sky.
Beautiful. I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, I could do that. I just start to sweat a little bit
more. That's fine.
But I love
85, not a cloud in the sky.
Go to San Diego. That's you can have that there.
San Diego doesn't get 85 a lot. There's a lot of 72.
Yep. A lot of moderation with the ocean.
Yeah, I'd like 85 and sunny. Not a cloud in the sky.
Yep.
Bring it on.
I do love Seattle, though. We'll like complain about the rain, and then as soon as it does hit that 85, it's too hot.
Nope.
Why is it so hot?
Yep.
I won't
complain about
that. That's when Brennan comes in.
I won't complain about that, especially not with the new AC. Thanks, Brennan. Appreciate it. All right. Jerks, if it's Alta Villa you want on the mound for the brawl, which Mariner hitter would you most like to see charge? I'm taking Gamel.
We don't have many good fighters. Maybe that's why they haven't either.
I think Ryan Healy could be sneaky.
Yeah.
He's too goofy.
Yeah.
Did you see
goofy.
When somebody accidentally touched him at first base the other day, though, and he like had that flinch?
Yeah. It was Donaldson that bumped him in the back.
He didn't want to fight Donaldson.
Yeah. No.
I don't think
still made like the reaction.
Those guys were not teammates.
In Oakland?
He's only been in Oakland for 2 years.
Healy?
Yeah.
You don't think they had any background?
I mean, maybe in the minors, but they weren't really teammates.
Well, whatever.
If they played together on a team, then they're teammates.
Thank you.
No, one was in AAA or the minors. One was in the majors.
I don't want to see Haniger too injury prone. Heredia is too big a smile. Gamel's got too much hair to be grabbed and thrown around like a rag doll.
Heredia's kind of sleep on Heredia.
Segura has not long enough arms. He's going to just take it. Yeah, we don't have great fighters.
Zanino.
That's my answer. I'll stick to it.
Cruz is so strong, though. Can't you just imagine him like the guy in Deadpool, like the metal guy, just kind of picking people up and smashing them together? What's that guy's name in Deadpool? The big, huge dude?
Colossus.
Thank you. Cruz would be like Colossus.
Did you see the new Avengers, Howdy? You guys seen that?
Have you seen what?
The new Avengers movie?
I've seen it twice, yeah.
How do you have that much time?
God. Twice?
You have two young kids.
Oh, you didn't know about that? How do you... Worked all day the day of the draft, stayed here for the draft, left at like 10 p.m., went to the movie, and then was back here for the show at 6.
Whoa. And the second time?
Yeah.
The second time, everyone in my house was asleep. It was 8 o'clock, and I decided I wasn't ready to go to bed yet, so I went to the movie.
Wow.
by yourself.
I would never do that. I would never think to
he's
do
a
that.
Lone, he's a lone movie. I he know. Likes to be the lone wolf.
Next question.
Jerks, what do you think would happen if Salk was forced to work in the New York sports radio market?
Oh, boy.
Well, I'd probably get drummed out of there like I did in Boston. I think we all know the answer to that. let's see.
Next
Jerks,
question.
Do you ever take the protective case off of your phone for a day just to feel alive again? That's good.
Live dangerous.
No. I like that.
Actually, no.
Jerks, what is a funny locker room story that you can actually share on the radio? Brock?
A funny one? I mean, the most fun we ever had was when I put the Icy Hot in Joe Theismann's underwear, which he still speaks to today. That was the most fun, where everybody was gathered around and just kind of waiting. Or, you know, Dilfer had it on here. Yeah, I would say the Icy Hot created by far the most fun in any locker room that I was ever in. You know, you put stinky stuff in people's lockers, too. You kind of hide it under there. It's real stinky cheese or something just gross and stinky. And yeah, silly stuff like that.
Wacky.
Next question.
Jerks, can we just agree that the Mariner Moose is the safest bet when teaching your kids to be Mariners fans? Win or lose, the Moose is still a good time.
Yes.
Hey, my kids love the Moose. They love Moosey.
Zanino, yeah.
You want Zanino on the...
I'd put Zanino right behind the Moose. I think I'm safe with Zanino. I feel pretty good with Zanino.
I got to say, Mike Zanino is a pretty good player, but his at-bats are my least favorite
there
to
watch. Are some tough ones.
I really don't like... although I'll say, last night, he came up with that hit in the ninth. They didn't end up bringing him around. He took two of the worst swings I've ever seen.
Yes.
I mean, awful.
It's amazing.
And then found a way to stay with the last pitch and get it back up the middle. It ended up being a really nice bat.
A little of that Nelly to him where he can be a foot off.
Right. You're like, how could you miss a ball by that much and like be a professional hitter?
It is legitimately a foot or more away from the ball. But then he'll come back and do damage.
Yeah, that was that ended up being a decent at bat.
Yep.
Salk, why are you so accepting of steroids as the norm, but so angered by football players skipping voluntary activities? Well, because steroids are about trying to be better, and skipping voluntary activities are about trying to be worse. That's pretty simple. I want my guys to be invested in being better.
Which, by the way, I think are all still doing. Hey, we head into phase three next week.
Come on. You don't care about that.
A couple weeks left.
No, he's all set.
All done.
Scott Service is going to join us tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Will we have anything to talk about with him?
I think so. I'm going to say that's the least amount of football we've ever talked on a show in 10 years.
He needed to get thrown out of that game last night. That was predetermined.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, just before it started, I felt like he needed to get tossed.
He was trying really hard. Yes. It looked not genuine.
Laz, will you throw me out of this game, please? I got to get out of here.
I don't know. The finger got up in the face a little bit.
It did. I was worried.
It looked like he was just reminding himself, like, all right, keep going. All right, don't stop. Just keep going. You're really mad.
I liked it all. I thought it was good, but the hat toss was weak.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
If you're going to throw your hat.
Hey, tough guys.
I know what it was. It needed to be in good news, bad news, no news.
What?
It was Carson Smith.
Oh.
Ex-Mariner
tearing
reliever.
His arm up.
Tearing his arm, spiking his glove.
Throwing the glove.
Oh, no.
Hey, by the way.
Kind of what should have happened with Servant. Hey, you should have spiked that hat so hard he tore his UCL.
We're way late here, but you two tough guys, I dare you to say that to Service tomorrow.
That he had a lousy.
Yes.
Yeah, it kind of looked like you were putting it on a little
bit. I dare you to say that, Kyle.
No, I'll just say it was a weak hat toss.
Well, I dare Kyle
if you're
say
gonna,
that.
If you're going to spike the hat, spike the hat.
Barn.
He'll join us tomorrow at 9. We'll catch you guys at 7 a.m. See you, everybody.
Oh, man, that is frustrating and dishonest.
Get to the chopper!